an effectual door. 1 Corinthians 16, we're going to be reading in verse number 8 and 9. We will pray for and walk through doors that God has opened. Let's stand as we read God's word. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 through 9. I know if you're visiting or you're watching from home, this is something, though this is going to be specific for our church, this is specific for any Christian who belongs to any church that cares for people's souls in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8, Paul speaking, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Let's go to our Heavenly Father. Lord, we are so grateful for your word, so grateful for the work that's going on in the Dominican Republic. And Lord, you have a specific function for us, and we want to know what it is. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So Paul, context, we've been working through 1 Corinthians. For those of you who join us mostly on Sunday mornings, we've been working through 1 Corinthians, the latter chapters, for almost a year now. We're trying to wrap it up, and we've come to these verses in chapter 16. Paul says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus." We know that he's at Ephesus writing this epistle on his third missionary journey, and things didn't go as planned as we looked at that one Sunday evening. But he says, "I'm going to stay here at Ephesus." All right, Paul, why are you putting your life on hold? Okay, have you ever put your life on hold? This past summer, June 15th, I put my life on hold. Things didn't go as I had thought. All right? So Paul, why are you not doing what you maybe would have planned otherwise? Verse number 9, 4, and that's the word because. I'm going to tell you why. "A great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Paul, why are you putting your life on hold? Because there's an open and great door for me to go through. All right, question. Have you ever put your life on hold because God had opened a great and effectual door unto you? Paul's doing it. And you say, well, Pastor Grover, Paul was an apostle. Paul was a missionary. Certainly God would not be expecting that of me. Well, after we go through the study, if you can say that honestly, then so be it. But I don't think you're going to be able to say that honestly, that God would never expect me, a working individual, 9 to 5 or whatever you have, and put my life on hold for a great and effectual door, because I think God expects that from all of his children. All right? So as I mentioned in the introduction, in the complimentary verses, we want to make sure that everybody in this church is on the same page, understands the core values of this church. And one of them is, we're going to know what the slide says there. Do you know specifically, not generally, do you know specifically what your role is as it regards an open door? Okay? We want to make sure that everybody in this church understands their specific role, not a general role. I mean, I think we could all stumble our way out of some definitions of what we think God would have us to do, which is fine. That's a good starting spot, but that's not what God wants in particular. So we're going to take a look at this. And the first thing we're going to do is break this down. Do you even know what an effectual door is? If you don't know what an effectual door is, then how are you going to know when God opens it? So we're going to break this verse down initially, okay? "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." What is a great and effectual door? Okay? Great is the Greek word mega. You go through the drive-thru or you go into a convenience store. You have all these selections, all these options for soda or for pop or for coffee and or value menu meals. And some of them have the mega option, all right? When you go for the mega option in coffee, you're expecting them to go down to Columbia themselves and bring back those beans, and you don't want some little thimble full of coffee. You want what? You want a cup that you need a wheelbarrow to put that thing in. I mean, if you only got 2 hours of sleep, you're going to be wide awake. That's mega. In other words, it's not some tiny little thing. What I'm looking for in a door is I'm not going to have to squint to see God opening it. It's going to be there. It's going to be a mega. Door, as I mentioned in the introduction, is a metaphor for opportunity. That's all that is. It's not a real door. It's a metaphor. God is going to open up this mega door unto me. And you need to underline that. That is something unique for you. All right? This is not another general statement. All right? We've seen that in the Dominican, God has opened up a door there. That's for the people going there. You may not be going there. Does that mean God, and we're going to have a missions conference coming up, and we've got people going to the Sudan, and we have had the Boffins to be faithful. That's all them. Does God have anything for me? And the answer is, yes, he does. And we need to get that through our heads. God loves each and every one of us. He has unique opportunities for each and every one of us. You're not a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. There's no second string in the kingdom of God that just sits on the bench and waits for somebody to get hurt for them to go in. No, God needs each and every one of us, and he has unique opportunities for you. Not for your neighbor. For your neighbor, he has unique opportunities for them, but for you, all right? Effectual. This is the Greek word for energy. Something that is forceful, effective, active, and powerful. That's God's part. So when you read that open door and effectual, just remember the effectual is the part God's doing. God is going to be sinking energy, activity, and powerful things into opening a door. So we could summarize it this way. An open and effectual door is a mega opportunity which has been uniquely granted unto you by the power of God to clearly speak the gospel. That's what we're talking about. So we all in this church, listening at home or wherever you're at, we all need to understand what one of the core values is for this church. And we all need to be on the same page. Every one of us should be eagerly anticipating a mega opportunity which has been uniquely granted unto you by God to clearly speak the gospel. There should be any hesitation now from now on. Who does God open doors for people in this church? Who is going to be a potential candidate to have an open door? The answer is every single person in this church. That's what we're talking about. Now, I want to park just briefly, and I mentioned this in the introduction as well, on this word effectual, this word for energy, something that is forceful, effective, active, and powerful. That's God's part. Because I think we burden ourselves with too much pressure. We always feel, or you can be led to feel, if Uncle Joe, if Aunt Susie didn't come to the Lord, it's my fault. I didn't give the Romans road clearly. Instead of going to Romans 6:23, I went to Romans 10:9 ahead of the step. That wasn't step two, that was step three. I blew it. I didn't quote it word for word. And because of that, Aunt Susie is going to die and go to hell. That's not how you're to view this. Who would ever want that kind of pressure on themselves? All right? We're not here. You are not the sales and marketing department for God. You're not out to sell the gospel. You're not a snowplow. You're not a trailblazer. All right? You are just going where God is opening. No one is asking anybody in this church to shove the gospel into someone's heart. That's not how the gospel gets there. And I can guarantee you, not one of you is going to testify when you came to salvation, somebody shoved it into your heart. If that's how it happened, I question how your relationship with Christ is going. I didn't have it shoved. I wanted it there, which is, I'm sure, exactly what you wanted. All right? So we need to get this. God is doing the work. And on Wednesday night, we've been studying leadership out of the book of Titus, and we've been parked on this word, grace. Grace is efficacious. That's just a big word, which means grace works. Grace accomplishes things. So when God exercises his grace, for by grace you are saved, that means God's doing something. And when you come to a door and it's open, the first thought that should be running through your head is this: God did it. God opened this door. All right? Now, what are some examples of this? When I was studying for this message, I was looking up that passage, and I came across this guy who wrote an article. He was a missionary in the Soviet Union. About 20, 25 years ago in the 80s, the Soviet Union, as it was known back then, crumbled. All right? The Cold War was over. He got a phone call. Tim Kaib, principal down at the middle school in Russia at the same time. He also was asked. This guy was asked to come into the radio stations. Tim Kaib was asked to go into the schools in Russia and preach the gospel on network television. You can't even do that in America. That's God opening a door. That's God being effectual. The prisons asking Rock of Ages to come to preach in their prison. That is God doing that. Down in the Dominican, people asking for them to bring Bibles so that they can read the Word of God. That's God doing that. The Bible study at the lady's house, laying it upon her heart to exercise hospitality. That's God doing these works. I don't know if you remember when Daniel and Dr. Martin went to Uganda. They were supposed to go to this one city. That city got closed. They ended up in the most populated Muslim, poorest part of the whole country, 90% Muslim in that part. And what did God do? God opened up that little town, and now there stands a Bible-believing church in that area. How does that happen? God is effectual. When you go to a restaurant and you ask the waitress, "We're about to pray for our meal. Is there anything you would like for us to pray for?" And they break down and they just bawl in your presence, which has happened on numerous occasions. "My life is a wreck. I've been abused. Yada, yada, yada." That's God doing it. When you have the school system ask you, a Bible-believing church and others like you, to come into their schools and teach the Word of God, that's God being effectual. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about you blazing a trail. It's not talking about you knocking down walls. It's just you and I understanding God's already did this. He's doing it. All right? He just wants us to have our eyes open. This is what we recognize when we see a door. Sometimes God is asking us to go through it as a corporate body, all of us. God's asking all of us, give some money so that we can buy these Bibles. He wants the whole church. Sometimes they're individual opportunities. Release time is a great example of both. God is asking all of us to somehow get involved so that these young people, and we've already been involved either by prayer or by personal interaction, God's going to bring these kids down here. And I am confident that during this course of this upcoming year, somebody in this church, somebody who's volunteering, is going to have an individual opportunity to speak with one of those young people. It took the whole body of Christ to make this happen. That's corporate. That's how God opens doors. And then he's going to open them individually and give us opportunities to speak to these young people. So that's what this church, what we understand about open doors. Sometimes God wants the whole church going through it. Sometimes God just wants one person, two people maybe, going through those doors. How do we get involved? What's God expecting? Corporate involvement. Bibles. And I did not talk to Hillary before this. What did she say they needed? Bibles. You know what? That includes, and that's going to take money. Now, if you think God doesn't expect you to give, I want you to honestly, openly go home and read 2 Corinthians 8. Read 2 Corinthians 8. Come back and tell me what you think after you've read it. God has expectations for all of us. As we learned in Sunday school this morning, do you know why you're here? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why are you at Maranatha Baptist Church as opposed to one other good church? I've calculated within 20 minutes of this church, there's about 20 good churches you could be at. Why are you here? Do you think God has a reason for you being here? I'm certainly hope that you understand that he does have a reason for you being here. And the reason for you being here isn't just to sit in that chair, though they're comfy, right? Not just to hear the wonderful music, good godly music coming from the piano and our singing. That's great. God has a purpose for you to be here. You're part of a body, and nothing in your body gets the day off. You know what happens when your part of your body gets the day off? You get what? You get sick. We're part of a body. God needs every part of this body to be functioning. So that includes Bibles, supplies, money. Sometimes it's going to be personnel. We've had several people from this church go down to the Dominican. We've had people go on other mission trips. We've been to Peru. We've been to Africa. We've been to Canada. We've been to New York City. And before I came here, who knows what other places you've been. Sometimes when we talk corporate, God wants people from here to go be a part of that. And thirdly, God wants prayer. And this is the prayer part. Colossians 4:2. Continue. I cover that. That's in the present continual sense in prayer. And be alert. That means, and I get it, sometimes when we pray, we're tired and we don't mean to nod here and nod there, but as a rule, that should not be our normal prayer posture. We should be fully functional, praying for us that God would give us a door of utterance, an opportunity to speak that word of God, to speak the mysteries of Christ, which I am also in bonds, that I may make it very clear as I ought to speak. Knowing full well that God is the one doing the communicating. It's God's spirit to their spirit via you. God isn't asking you to be the Spirit of God. And that is should come to you as a great relief. Your job, my job with effectual doors is to speak, to be faithful sowing the seed. The harvest is left up to who? It's God's responsibility. Now, pray. Do you know these people? Do you know all these people? Or are these people new to you? If you're a visitor, they should be new. But to our members, you should be able to run through that list and have an idea of every single prayer request these people have, because we pray for them all. If you do not, may I recommend to you, and you can use the church's copier, go back there, start on one side, pull out the prayer letters, put them in the feeder of that copier, and run them off and take them home. That's how you get involved in their life. Paul is saying, pray for me. And God is saying, pray for them. And I'm sure you have your own personal ones there as well. what am I supposed to pray? That an open, effectual door would be opened unto them, just like Paul's praying. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, or 16 is before Colossians. So Paul has understood, I know what an open door looks like. I've seen it in Ephesus. I'm here in Colossae, and I want you to pray, or I'm in Roman prison. I want you to pray the same thing. I've seen what an open, effectual door looks like. It's an awesome thing. Would you pray that God would do that again and again and again and again? Because once you've seen it, you can't believe it. And you don't want it to stop. So that's Paul's prayer. Individual involvement. Because of the influence of our society, we're getting life wrong. Life today is about consumption. Things exist, including other human beings, for my personal consumption. And Jesus said, if you are going to keep your life, you're going to what? Lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to what? You're going to find it. And it's amazing to me that almost every single human being who deals with the topic of giving meaning to someone's life has come to this conclusion, whether it's secular or sacred. You get the purpose out of your life by being productive. People who are only consumers never have a fulfilling life. And that's why you have all some of these political activism, because all they're doing is consuming. The inevitable result, as on the slide there, obtained when you only consume, is you get a consumer. You can't read your Bible and come away that's what God wants. God just wants me to be a consumer. No, that's not what God wants you to be. God wants you to be a producer. God wants something to come from your life. Jesus humbled himself, came down to this earth, and took on the form of a servant. Servants don't consume. Servants serve. Probably one of the hardest Christians to look at, because they're emaciated and they don't even know it, is someone who just consumes. And I can tell you, your children are probably going to walk away from Christianity. If all they've seen you do is consume it and not produce anything, it's not going to be a fulfilling life for them. It's good to see young people taking assessments down, checking blood pressure, holding a child's kid while they're getting seen by the medical professionals. Do you think that's going to hurt them? Christianity is not about how much of God I can consume. It's about how much God can get into me so that I can reflect him back. I'm to be the light of the world. I'm to be the salt to the world. I'm not to be just the consumer of the world. Christianity is not a consumer-only relationship. So I'm going to, when the door is opened unto me, how did Paul put his life on hold in Ephesus before he went to Corinth? Because he was self-sacrificing. He wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking of the Ephesians there who were in a world of hurt spiritually. And because Paul was used of God, became one of the most strong spiritual churches in the first century in Christianity. Christianity is not about yourself. Christianity is about other people. And when God opens an effectual door, he expects you to stop what you're doing. Yeah, stop. and walk through that door. How do we pray for this? After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly what? Mega. He makes mega people to handle mega harvests. But the laborers are what? Few. So what are we to do? Pray for God specifically. So we've listed about three things you should have on your new prayer sheets. All right? Rarely, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, we need to do it, but rarely will you find Paul praying for health or other things like that. He's praying for these things. Not that health didn't bother him. It did bother him. He was concerned with people's health. But we need to make sure while we're praying for health, we add these other spiritual endeavors as well to our sheets. Pray that the laborers, who are few currently, would expand because the harvest is mega. And we need a lot of harvesters there, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now, after reading that, can you honestly say God doesn't expect me to do it? Listen to this. In this church, no one should be surprised to be asked to walk through a great and effectual door, but only shocked if you've not been. You should be totally shocked that you have not been asked to go through a door. Because there's plenty of them. No one in this church should be surprised. And you should be constantly watching for the doors because you don't know. Now, it's not always apparent that the door is opened. So you may have to knock. You may have to start a sentence slanted towards Christianity. And if it's open, it'll go. You're not going to have to work at it too much. Walk into a patient's room. Start setting up for an exam. My life is in shambles. Do I have to question whether God's working? A waitress breaking down in a restaurant crying over something going on in her life or his life. Do I have to wonder if God is working? A phone call from the local school superintendent to start a Bible study. Do I have to wonder if God is working? For counselors from a high school asking pastors, when are you coming to the high school? Do I have to wonder if God is working? And should you be surprised when God has such a harvest going on? Do you think you're exempt from him asking you to participate? I don't know to what degree. I have no idea. And it may be you're going to be the prayer warrior. Maybe you're going to help financially. But maybe God wants you in the game. I just want us as a church body, if somebody were to come here and ask us, what is a core value of this church? The core one of them would be after today, when God opens a door, when God makes an opportunity, the first thing we do is check, what's my part, God? Is it monetarily? Is it physically? Is it more involved in personally being there and being that individual who speaks that word of God? What is my role? But that's the first thing I'm asking myself. Does God want our whole church going through this door? Or does God just want an individual or individuals going through this door? But we are all aware it's a core value of this church that when God opens doors, we are ready to go in whatever capacity he may have for us. So when the Dominican trip comes up, We are there. We're going to, within our ability, make sure the supplies are there. That may be your role. It may be God has laid upon your heart, you know what? I need to go there. I want to help Holland and those young kids do this stuff. But we're going to go. And we're going to pray. So let's summarize this. Be a help down to making like Holland and Addie and 8 other nurse students. Every member in this church, so this is a core value. Every member in this church should be praying and seeking for a mega opportunity. Now, when God gives a mega opportunity and he wants us as a church, it's not possible for us to answer all of them. I so wish that every missionary that came through this church we could help, but the reality is it's not possible. But the ones God wants, I'm praying, I'm seeking for a mega opportunity. In many instances, it's going to be unique for you. Because how many lost people are there? Millions, billions. And we're not omnipresent. So to overcome omnipresent, God made a lot of us. So that we can all, not individually can we be everywhere, but God can place individuals in every position. I'm looking for a mega opportunity for you. You're praying for me, which has been granted by the power of God to clearly speak the gospel. That's a core value of ours. So now you can add this to our prayer sheet. For each one of us, we seek corporate and individual opportunities. We expect God to use our church and the people who make up this church to do his work. And we will give of our resources and our personal time. And for some of you, you may have to put your life on hold. Isn't it amazing? Almost every missionary that comes through, not every, I shouldn't say many of them, we're going to go through life doing something else. And God changed their minds. They have a bachelor's degree in science, a bachelor's degree in this, a master's degree in this other thing. Went to training. Eric Joss was in maintenance and such. And now God put that on hold and changed his course. But when God opens up these opportunities, we are going to be ready. We are going to ask ourselves, first of all, God, what do you want me to do? Because it's him doing the work. Paul, 1 Corinthians 16, but I'm going to tarry at Ephesus. I'm not budging. Paul, why aren't you budging? You got a lot of stuff to do. Verse 9, because a mega door and effectual, energized power by God is opened uniquely for who? Me. And there are many adversaries, but I am going through that door. So, people here, when God opens that door, the expectation is every single member in some form or another, some means or another, is going to go through that door. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Jesus Christ and his salvation. I pray that you would use your words to speak to hearts. Lord, what a grand opportunity it is to be able to serve you in this capacity, for you to open doors and for us to walk through. Lord, we've seen that. The Dominican Republic, what an exciting time. All that you're doing there, what you're doing here in Ashland County, what you're doing throughout the world. Lord, we should be eagerly anticipating you asking us to participate somehow. And Lord, we await that opportunity. Thank you for giving us this privilege. And Lord, truly the harvest is rich right now where we're at. We need more laborers. Work in hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're dismissed.